This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John, and we want to continue where we left off on Wednesday evening. So if you turn with me to John chapter 14, Jesus is sharing with his disciples words of challenge and encouragement as he is preparing to go to the cross. And he is with them. They've been meeting for the Passover, the last Passover, together in the upper room. And he's sharing with them at this time. And this evening, this afternoon, we want to pick it up at verse 15 of chapter 14. And we'll go to verse 26. So, chapter 14, verse 15 through 26. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father that he shall give to you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, and ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this afternoon. Help us to understand the significance and the importance of that love needs to be put into action. It's not merely just words. And especially when we say that we love and want to serve you, that what that means. Lord, help us as we look into the words that were shared with the disciples shortly before our Lord went to the cross. And Lord, help us to realize that those are words for us today as well, as you have preserved them for us to have. Lord, now speak to us, we pray, through your word. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that you will see in Jesus' teaching, and whenever someone would teach scriptures, is if they said something once, it was significant. If they said it twice, it was very important. But if they said it three times, it was really important. In the text we just read, you notice that the topic is love and what that means, love of the Lord, love of the Father, and what that means and how it works its way out in our lives. One of the things that is very easy to do is to say words but don't follow through with actions that reinforce the words that we have just shared. For example, it means not much at all if you say that you love someone but you never do anything for them, you never show them any affection, you never want to spend any time with them. You really don't have their best interests at heart, and you really want to be with others more than you'd want to be with them. Then that word love really takes on no meaning at all, and it really has no significance. Because if you truly say, I love you, then we're going to show it in our actions, our attitudes, the way that we conduct ourselves, and what we desire for that person. Well, it's no different with the Lord, and that's what the Lord is sharing with his disciples this afternoon in these words. It starts out in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, remember they were talking about what was going to be happening, as Jesus had shared with them that he was going to go to the cross. Remember, Peter had said, I'll go to the death with you, Lord. And Jesus said, well, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. They've also looked at one another and queried, is it I that's going to, I would never, be the one that would turn on the Lord and be the one that would turn him over to the authorities. And they had that discussion. They also had the discussion about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom, and Jesus had to deal with that issue. But it all centered around what is love. Because really, if they really loved the Lord, they would understand the significance of their words and their actions. And that's exactly what Jesus is going to be doing now as he's teaching them in the next few verses, the concept of what does it mean to say that I love the Lord. Well, the first thing he says is that if you really love me, you're going to keep my commandments. What does that mean? There's a lot of people that say, well, I'm not under the law, which we're not. We don't earn our salvation by keeping the law. But on the other hand, if we truly love God, we know what he's established and the parameters he's set for us to live our lives by, and how that we're supposed to be different from a world that's in rebellion to him. Our attitudes and our actions are not to be expressed as rebellion to God and his character. The Word of God and the law of God are reflections of the character of God and who he is. And if we do not want to abide or see little or no significance in those, then we really have no meaning when we say, well, I love you, Lord, and I thank you for dying on the cross for me, but I'm going to go do my own thing and live my own way. That is not an expression of love. And so Jesus says it begins with our actions in the way that we conduct and live our lives. We obey his commandments. And it says that there's consequences, good consequences, for obedience. He says, I will pray the Father, and ye shall give you another comforter, that ye may abide with you, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now he's speaking here of the Holy Spirit. Now it's interesting, he says the words that he may abide with you forever. If you go back to the Old Testament, you'll see that the Holy Spirit was the Spirit of God, and he would come upon people when God had a special task for them to do. Samson was a prime example. A lot of Samson's life was left compromising his position with the Lord. He was dedicated as a baby to be a Nazarite. That is a special one set apart for God. There wasn't to be a razor on his head. He was to have a special diet. His whole life was to be focused on the Lord. Yet we see that Samson had a problem with women, and that he liked to pursue women, and on more than one occasion got in trouble because of it. But it really became his downfall with Delilah, the Philistine woman that he really fell for, and ended up compromising and telling her where his strength came from, and it resulted in him being led captive by the Philistines, where they couldn't do it prior to that. But one of the interesting things about Samson is oftentimes as he was not walking with the Lord, whenever the Lord had a special task for him to do, it says the Spirit of God would come upon him and he'd be given supernatural strength, supernatural abilities. He killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. This was not something that was normal. And we see that he was able to kill a lion that came and met him one time. That was not normal. We see that the Spirit of God came upon him and he is able to do these tasks. We also see that there were other people in the Old Testament, prophets and kings, that where the Spirit of God would come upon them and they would be given special wisdom or insight. They'd be given special abilities that were beyond their normal self. But the Spirit of God did not reside in them, but rather came upon them, and then would not reside there. David, when he sinned against God with Bathsheba and the killing of her husband Uriah the Hittite and the lying to Nathan the prophet, you remember in his prayer of confession and remorse, which is Psalm 51, He asked the Lord, please do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Now, David understood that the Spirit of God was not a promise given by God to him or to any that lived prior to the cross, of the Spirit of God residing in us daily and being with us all the time. Jesus said there's going to be something unique that's going to come to the disciples and to all believers that had not happened prior to his going to the cross. And that is that he's going to send a special one to us, that is the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, not to come upon us, but to reside within us and to be there with us forever. And that Spirit would have a couple special things that he shares. That he says, but even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it knoweth him not, seeth him, because it knoweth him, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world shall see me no more, but you shall see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And so we see that the Spirit was going to be the Spirit that would come upon us and dwell within us was to be a Comforter. In other portions of Scripture, we see that there are other things that are promised of him. He would exhort us to do that which was godly and righteous. He would lead us in the ways and the paths of the Lord. He would strengthen us. He would give us special abilities that God had called us to do, which would involve showing forth the fruit of the Spirit in our lives as we lived and carried out our lives amongst people. In other words, he would be the one that would direct our paths, help us to live our lives, help us to be conformed to the image of Jesus, and be there to be our Comforter and the one to be our encourager. And so we see that Jesus said that this Spirit was coming upon his disciples. Now, an interesting thing is the Spirit of God doesn't come upon the world. Why? Because the world hadn't received Christ, and it had also doesn't believe in God. We were just having an interesting conversation at noon today where this topic kind of came up, where this individual we were talking to said, you know, he'd been talking to a person, and this person said, well, I would agree with you on certain things about creation, or about the animal world is what he had been talking to this person about, and that horses and zebras and donkeys, and they all are similar, but the person, the unbeliever, had said, but they've all evolved different, and we've all evolved. And his point was, no, we were created, and they're all created the same kind, and they all came from a horse-like animal to start with, so there's all related there because of being the same kind. Well, this other individual just couldn't see it, and he would give this other person, the person, the unbeliever, he'd give example after example that would be clear to Roberta and I as he was sharing this with us, but was totally unclear to this unbeliever. Why? Because they didn't believe in God. They didn't have the ability to comprehend and see. Satan had darkened and closed their eyes, and until the point that they really called on the Lord and asked that God would remove the scales off their eyes so they could see and understand, then they could see what is so very clear and evident to us, but they just believed the lies of this world. Why? Because the world does not follow God. So the world does not have the Comforter. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is the one that brings conviction upon men that they would, and is the Holy Spirit is the one that opens the eyes of people so they have an opportunity to understand and believe. So we need to pray that God would do this for the unbeliever, because the Spirit of God is not residing upon those that are in the world like it is upon the believer, like he is upon the believer. Jesus goes on and says, he that hath my commandments in verse 21 and keepeth them, it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself in him. This is the second time that Jesus uses this example of the importance of keeping the commandments. And so we see the first time he tells them that if they love him, they'll keep his commandments. Now he gives a second exhortation. He says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." And so there's a direct connection between the actions of our life and our love for the Lord. And so if we truly are seeking God, we will desire to walk according to the will and the purposes of God and His commandments. And what are His commandments? His commandments are found in His Word. It's summarized really in the Ten Commandments. The first five, which deal with our relationship with God, the second five, which deal with our relationship with fellow man, but they are all with where God sets how we are to live our lives. And it begins with our attitude towards the Lord, that we're to have no other gods before Him. There is no other God but Him. And so this needs to be the beginning point of our life. And if we focus on that, and we have that, and we walk in obedience to the way we conduct ourselves first with God, it will, and then with man, it will be a reflection of the depth of our love for Christ. And so Christ tells us to His disciples again, "And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him." And so this is a love that's reciprocated, and we see that this is exemplified in the earthly relationships as well. In chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul tells us that the marriage relationship between a husband and wife, a Christian husband and wife, is really a picture of Christ and His church. And part of that is the commitment that should be there between a husband and wife. The husband should love his wife not because of what he can get from her, but rather what he can do for her. And it's a self-sacrificing love. It's a love that's an unconditional love. It's not based on a performance that she does, and then I will love you. She, on the other hand, should respect and honor and revere her husband because of his willingness to be like Jesus and lay down his life for her. And that should be an example of what the love relationship is between the church and Christ. Yet today we see that Jesus is fulfilling his part and that he has unconditionally given his life for us and offered us the means of salvation. There isn't a condition in our performance, but on the other hand, we're to revere and honor and respect and seek to do that which would please Him because of what He's done for us and because of His character and because of His love. And it's a reciprocal action, this love. It's freely given by both, and it's received by both, and it's not demands that are placed upon it for performance, but rather for relationship. And that is what we see here, is what God, the Lord is saying. Well, Judas, and this is not Iscariot, this is the other Judas, says to the Lord, "How is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Which is an interesting question. So how are you going to make yourself, how is the Holy Spirit going to reveal himself to us but not to the world? And a good question. And so how does Jesus answer that? Well, let's pick it up at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." Well, that's the first means of manifestation, is that if you love Christ, there's going to be obedience. If you love Christ, there's going to be a desire to walk in His will and purposes. The world doesn't have that. So that's going to be an easy mark of how the Spirit will manifest itself onto the believer, but not onto the world. The world doesn't desire to do what God wants. As a matter of fact, the world's doing the exact opposite. If you look at what's the spirit of the world in our age today, we see that there's a whole group of people that want to form a one-world government, that they want to deny God, that He exists, that they want to become the God unto themselves, and they want to lead the whole world, and the world would bow at their feet. In other words, that they would be a God. That is the exact opposite spirit of the Holy Spirit. That's a spirit that's really a demonic spirit, and it's a spirit of this world. It's very easy to see the difference between that and a believer in Christ who desires to worship the Lord, who desires the Lord's coming, who doesn't want a one-world authority that's under man, but he wants a world that would bow in homage and obedience to Christ. There's a difference, and it's easy to see. Jesus is saying that difference is manifested in where is your loyalty, where is your obedience, where is the actions of your life. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And so he's saying the Father and the Son and the Spirit will come upon the person who believes and who loves the Lord, who desires what God desires, who walks in obedience to him. He that loveth me, not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Again, the concept of obedience and love and keeping of the word of God. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Now, it was easy. He's saying, you're going to hear these, and you're saying, well, you're present with us, but there's coming a day where he wasn't going to be. Today, he's not present with us physically. His spirit still resides with us and in us. But it says here in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So he was telling his disciples, there's coming a day where I'm not going to be with you, and it'd be easy for you to forget some of the things I've told you. For example, I grew up and lived in my parents' home, but guess what? I moved out when I come down to college when I was 18. I really never lived there except vacation days or weekends once in a while, but I was never there full time after I was 18. And sometimes it's hard to remember everything my parents told me. That's a long time ago. And they're not with me anymore. As a matter of fact, my parents have passed away. And so they're not even around. I can't even ask them the questions anymore. Well, the disciples were with Jesus. And when they were with Jesus, they just asked him. And if they didn't understand something, like Judas didn't understand, how do we know that the Spirit can come upon us, but he's not going to come upon the world? How do we know the difference? And Jesus could answer them that the Spirit would be with them, but he wouldn't be with the world. And he was there to do that. But there was coming a day where Jesus was going to be gone. And when Jesus was gone, he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you. That's the purpose of my sending the Spirit to you. He will indwell you. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to bring to mind those things that I have taught you. Now, we haven't been physically taught by Jesus in our presence. He hasn't physically been in our presence expounding his words like he was when he walked on the earth. But he's given us his word, the written word, and we've studied it, you've been taught it, you have sought to memorize it and know it, and as you do that, it says the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind the things that I have taught you. So he's going to bring those things to our mind, and he's also going to help us to understand them and give us understanding and purpose. And it won't do that for the world. The world will have no desire to know the things of God, nor will it desire to understand them. As a matter of fact, they're in rebellion to them. So he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He's going to teach us all things and will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And there may be times where you're talking to someone and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God brings something to your mind that you need to share with that person from the Scriptures, and you hadn't been thinking about it, you maybe hadn't even been remembering it, and all of a sudden it's there, and I need to interject this into the conversation because God's Spirit wants this person to hear that. And that's the Spirit of God working in our hearts and lives. I remember a number of years ago, there was an evangelist that was speaking at our church, and afterwards a woman came up and was talking to him. And I was standing there, and the evangelist was talking to her, and all of a sudden, it was like out of the clear blue sky, he asked this question that seemed to be totally not related to what they'd been talking about, But immediately the woman started to break into tears and said, how did you know what I needed to be asked? Well, he didn't, but the Spirit of God did. It brought to his mind something he needed to share with her. And after that, he was able to talk to her and help her with the spiritual need that she really hadn't been willing to share and open up with him, but God's Spirit caused her to do it by bringing to his mind that which he needed to share. And God's Spirit will do that for us. And it says it will bring to mind those things that we know and that we need to be able to share. Also, the Scriptures tell us that if we are in a situation where we're having to stand before authorities and we don't know what to say, that God's Spirit will be there to give us the words to share. Now, we have to be open to receive those words and be ready to speak those words and be asking God in prayer, Lord, help me in this situation. But he says he'll be there to do that for us. And that's exactly the things that God's Spirit will do, as Jesus is saying. He's revealing that the Spirit of God is there to comfort us, and he's there to help us to act in obedience to the will of the Father and the commandments of the Son, that we will express our love to him. And that's one of the main reasons God's Spirit indwelling the believer is to help us to do those things. Let's just close in prayer this afternoon. Lord, I pray that you just help us to understand these things, help us to understand the importance of walking in obedience to your word, the importance of seeking to be guided by the direction of your Spirit, to open up our hearts to his teaching and to walk in obedience to your commands, that we may express our love to you. That love is more than just words, but love needs to manifest itself in the actions and attitudes of life. And it begins in the believer's life by walking in obedience to your commands. Speak to us and go with us this next week ahead. Give us opportunity to share with others the joy of our salvation. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 487. 487.